The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
The sub-minimum wage rate is blatant discrimination and hyper-exploitation of young workers, so says People Before Profit TD Paul Murphy. The accusation comes as new figures show an increase in the use of sub-minimum wage rates for young people. Well, Paul Murphy joins me now, along with John Barry, who's on the National Council with ISME, the Irish Small and Medium Enterprises. And John's also director of MSS, the HR People. And John, I'll start with you, because the straight claim here is that employers are using the sub-minimum wage legally to get around the adult minimum wage. Is that happening?
Good morning, Claire. No, it's the reality is that the majority of employers in this country are small employers, and the majority of employers are experiencing severe and significant increase in costs, primarily due to government policy, and these are difficulties they are having. So therefore, it's interesting to note that, in fact, there is a suggestion there's been a greater availing of the lower rates of pay, because obviously employers are trying to hold their costs and keep people employed.
So that's exactly what they're doing then. They're trying to get around the minimum wage that they must pay to fully fledged adults by employing younger people at lower wages.
No, what I'm saying is that the number, because I think if you have seen before that the ESI had said that the number of people who are actually that was availed of was lower. That's gone up because employers are experiencing increased costs. Mm-hmm. And in case of small employers, young people are generally passing through the company rather than permanently with the company.
And they're cheaper.
They are cheap at that time, but they're also learning for the first time, because many of them will be their first time real jobs, and they're having to understand and work in the workforce and be trained up in whatever area they're in, as opposed to a situation mm-hmm. where older people are employed who are more experienced but are looking for more money. So there is obviously a significant cost element to this,
okay,
well, but also a training element.
Okay, well, Paul, you have it straight there that given that costs are increasing, this is a way for employers to save money.
Well, why should young workers pay the price for that? I mean, if you're 17 years old, you don't get to pay 70% of the cost of petrol. If you're 18, you don't get to pay 80% of your rent. If you're 19, you don't get to pay 90% of your grocery bills. And yet we're expecting young people to survive on 70%, 80% or 90% of the minimum wage. So we have a national minimum wage in this country of $14.15 an hour, which is not enough for people to really live on. And yet, if you're 17 or younger, you can legally be paid less than 10 euros an hour. If you're 18, you'd be paid just over 11 euros an hour. If you're 19, less than 13 euros an hour. I mean, this is not a training rate. So you could have a situation where someone was 19, where they've been working for a couple of years for an employer, and they're working beside someone who actually has started their first day, and yet they're getting less because the person next to them is 20 or older. This is purely based on age, not based on experience. Mm-hmm. And it is blatant discrimination and exploitation. And it's something that the vast majority of European countries have done away with. We're one of only two countries left.
Isn't it interesting, though, that the ESRI found that there's no evidence to suggest that the people who are paid less when they're in those younger years lose their jobs when they become eligible for the adult minimum wage? So it sort of negates the argument that the device is used by a workaround by employers, because it seems to be borne out by the figures that they're being kept on when they age up into the higher rate.
Well, the main finding of the ESRI report was contrary to the idea that the minimum wage going up is a threat to jobs. And it found that the minimum wage going up, there was no evidence that it increased the likelihood of minimum wage employees losing their jobs. That's the main overall finding. And then the second finding is that the number of young workers who are getting paid legally less than the minimum wage has increased dramatically. It's increased from about 15,000 young people to 20,000. I mean, we introduced a bill to get rid of this back in 2022. That was passed in the Dáil with a year-long timed amendment in June 2023. That was so the Low Pay Commission could report on it. The Low Pay Commission then did report based on extensive ESRI research in June 2024 and unanimously recommended getting rid of these sub-minimum wage rates together with most European other European European countries. And yet the government just last year said, actually, despite the vote of the Dáil, despite the position of the Low Pay Commission, we're not even going to consider this until 2029. Why? Because we're more concerned about the profits of businesses. They're pretty explicit about that. And the idea that young workers should pay the price for a cost of living crisis, which is affecting everybody, it's simply unfair.
So, John, what do you think would happen if younger people were paid the full minimum wage?
Well, I think there's two potential scenarios here. Firstly, that the employer would then start biasing against older people because they say, well, I'll bring this person because they've got more experience, a lot more life experiences, and therefore I believe these people would be more reliable and I have to spend less time training them or getting used to the work environment. Or the other one would be is, in fact, the converse is that the older people could be discriminated against because they say, why would I employ someone who is 25, 30, 40, who's got maybe bring bad habits with them when I can bring someone in and from scratch, I can then shape them and mold them to suit the requirements of my business. So there's a potential risk either way. But I think it's also important to note, it's just a point there which Paul's raised, is he said about the minimum wage. It didn't result, the ESRI found it didn't result in job losses. But what the ESRI also recognised was it did result in people's hours of work being reduced. So the last thing you want to see is people's hours being reduced, because otherwise it's the same as effectively the employee paying for the pay rise. Mm-hmm. So the point here is, though, is that, you know, a lot of these people coming in at those ages are transiting in jobs. They're learning the workplace environment, they're learning how to fit into a workplace, and then they go on to develop. If they, as you rightly pointed out, if they stay with the employer and they're there for the 3 years or 2 years, they are going to have a much better chance of remaining in that employment than an employer bringing someone new in to replace them, because they have become experienced and they are trained up. And that's important.
Mm-hmm. And I noticed, though, that you, but John, you did, when I asked you what would happen if younger people were paid the full minimum wage, you didn't say that there would be less people employed. You didn't say that it would be apocalyptic for employers.
Well, firstly, youth unemployment is probably one of the highest figures in unemployment groups at this point in time, and it has been for a long time. So I think we have a responsibility to try and encourage employment of youth. Therefore, this is one of the reasons why you can do, one way you can do it, is because you can bring people in and train them up, and you pay the full wage until they're 20 and they've become experienced workers in your particular company. So if it went up to minimum wage, I think you would see a change in recruitment habits. And I think you would see a change in either employers not bringing on people because they could do that, and they will keep the existing workforce and live with the existing workforce. Whereas with the chance of bringing someone a lesser rate of pay, they can bring someone in and train them up in anticipation of maybe people leaving in due course who are older in the company.
All right, so what do you say to that? That it does make employers more likely to hire people who they're mentoring and training up.
You see, we don't have to rely on hypotheticals or anecdotes here. There has been extensive evidence, because the government has been dragging its feet on it so much. A series of reports have been commissioned into it, and they've all found that effectively there's no impact in terms of employment. I quote you from the Low Pay Commission, which looked at the example of what happened in the UK. And it found that the abolishing subminimum youth rates, quote, did not find any impact on aggregate employment or unemployment in low-paying sectors. For the young people, they did not find any effect on average or usual hours worked. The Indicon report, which was then commissioned by the Department of Finance, or Public Expenditure, I think, said international evidence shows that abolishing youth rates tends to have minimal impact on employment. I mean, this is something that is supported by not just youth organisations like the National Youth Council, like the Student Union movement, but trade unions like Mandate have been to the fore. And the reason for that is because, one, they're pushing to end the exploitation of young people, but two, they realise it will be good for all workers that employers are not able to particularly exploit young people.
Yeah, well, and just the messages coming in, right? There aren't many 18-year-olds paying full bills and for groceries, and this listener would prefer their children get a taste of work on a lower rate than sit at home. Another one uses their example of their child who went in, worked in a supermarket when he was in TY, was on the lower wage, still with them now, in university, age 20, paid the full minimum wage as he got more responsibility. And they've no issue with it.
But the evidence, we should talk to the young people themselves to see if they're okay being paid 30% less than the people they're working alongside doing exact same job as them. But the evidence is clear that getting rid of these sub-minimum wage rates doesn't have any impact in terms of employment. And we have a lot of talk in this country about the hard time that businesses are facing, and many businesses are facing difficult times. But as a whole, what has happened? Profits have increased by 72% over the past 6 years, while wages have increased by 40%. So wages aren't keeping up with the productivity gain. We know that SMEs, although you'll definitely find SMEs that are struggling, but a higher percentage of SMEs are now experiencing profit than were experiencing profit pre-COVID. So all of this is being used to justify workers paying a price, when actually the majority of businesses are getting on just fine and could afford to be paying the basic. I mean, we're talking about the minimum wage here. We're not talking about the living wage. We're talking about 14, 15 an hour. Okay. It's extremely basic.
All right. Paul Murphy, People Before Profit, and John Barry from ISME. Thank you both for joining us on that one.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.